Welcome to the Energetic Tarot Podcast, a podcast that helps you connect with the energy of the cards, read more intuitively, and create a more connected practice overall. I'm your host, Kat Crawford, a UK-based energetic tarot reader and tutor, helping you read more objectively for yourself and use your cards for ultimate self-care. Welcome back, everybody, to the Energetic Tarot Podcast. I hope you are all doing very well. Hello if you are a new listener. Hello if you are a loyal listener that's been listening for... How long have I been doing this now? 2 years? 3 years? It's been a while. We're on episode 52, which is a lot. And yeah, welcome. Welcome to everybody. Today, we're going to be doing a sort of... a tarot lesson, or just chatting about the world of tarot, specifically tarot versus oracle cards, and which one offers you the most support, what are the differences, how to use them together. So we're going to be looking at these two tools that I always see as kind of cousins rather than twins or siblings. They're very similar. They have similar origins, but they're kind of two different branches of the same tree. So we're going to have a look at that today. Just some housekeeping before we get stuck in. My Energetic Tarot course, which is a lifetime course, it runs all year round. You can jump on it at any point and kind of work through the lessons in a self-led fashion. But I also offer 10 weeks each year where I jump on a Zoom and I teach you the lessons live as well. So that course now has multiple payment options, which means that you can choose whether to pay the full costs outright, just upfront, one payment, that's it, one and done. You can choose to spread the cost over 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months as well. And the reason that I wanted to do this is, one, because it is a lifetime course. You have access to it from the minute you sign up until you decide you don't need it anymore, and then you just float away with all the information that you have. But if you ever need to come back, you can do. And so it really lends itself to being able to kind of work with a payment plan and be spread over a 12-month period maximum. So I have offered those payment options for anyone who kind of saw the price of the course. It's £333 if you're going to pay outright, or you can obviously split that up into monthly payments as well. And just to kind of give you a brief overview, if you're not 100% clear on what the course is, the Energetic Tarot course is essentially, at its core, it is a course to teach you how to read tarot intuitively. It is about being able to understand the different energies that are available to you. So when I say energies, I'm talking about your own energy. I'm talking about elemental energies, so things like air, fire, water, earth. I'm talking about celestial energies, so we go into astrology, we look at numerology. So there are all these different things that we can tap into when we're trying to read the tarot intuitively. And that is essentially what we're learning through Energetic Tarot course. It is a course that I run live, like I was saying. Each year I will do 10 weeks of live lessons where you guys can jump on to Zoom and chat with me and work through the lessons together if you need that kind of one-on-one support. There is a private Facebook group as well where you can kind of ask questions and chat to other students, ask me anything, because I'll be in there as well. And then the rest of the time, if you kind of miss the live term each year, the course's doors are always open. So you can always go in whenever you feel the need to sign up or you want to sign up, and you can work through the lesson, the video lessons, in a self-led fashion as well. So you really have full flexibility over how you want to learn and how you best learn. And I am always on hand to support you, whether you're doing it in a self-led capacity or if you're joining us for the live lessons as well. So it is a lifetime course. You have lifetime access to me and the resources and any lesson recordings that I upload into that student portal as well. And it's really about having that community as well and being able to be a part of a course that not only teaches you something new, but also changes and shifts each year to match what I learn. So my growth and my personal tarot practice and how that kind of evolves, everything new that I learn, I then pass on to you. So it's a real living, breathing course. I call it a living course because the core of it stays the same. The core objectives stay the same. But sometimes the way I'll teach it will change from year on year. Sometimes I will add in some stuff that I didn't teach the previous year and I'll teach it the next year. So it's a real living, breathing community of tarot learning. So if you want to go and check that out, you can click the link in the description. Right. Shall we have a look at some tarot and oracle cards and start getting stuck in, seeing what the differences are and how to use them and all that jazz? I get asked about oracle cards a lot, so I thought this would be a nice little easy listening podcast to do to kind of teach you a little bit more about that. So without further ado, let us get stuck in. Okie dokie. So let's start with the very basics. Let's chat about what oracle cards actually are. So sometimes they are labeled as fortune telling cards. They can be called angel cards, depending on the deck and kind of the theme of it and things like that. And they are very popular at the moment. They are growing with every well-being and spiritual influencer in the world. Everyone seems to have an oracle deck at the moment, and that's fantastic. They are a lot more flexible. They're a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? Available? Is that not, that's not what I'm, accessible. That was the word I'm looking for. They're a lot more accessible to beginners because each oracle deck is different. And so there's no, like tarot, where there's a rule book. I'm going to say a rule book. It's a guidebook, kind of general structure of how you read a tarot deck. There's none of that with the oracle cards. So they're a lot more beginner friendly, a lot more friendly to those who don't want to dedicate themselves to learning like a completely new language. So sometimes they are labeled as fortune telling cards. You'll probably find a lot of those. Usually they come in like little mini packs if they're fortune telling cards, but yeah, they're kind of one in the same with some slight differences. They originate from Madame Lenormand's 19th century creation of the Lenormand deck. So if you haven't heard of the Lenormand deck, I never know if I'm saying it correctly, but that's how it's spelt. So that's how I'm going with it. But the Lenormand deck is kind of like someone decided to do fortune telling with a pack of playing cards and then add some illustrations of it. People who are in love with Lenormand decks are probably listening to this going, please, you are butchering the Lenormand deck and explaining what it is. But it's not as popular as tarot, and you don't really see them that often in like shops and stuff. But that is essentially where oracle cards came from. So this 19th century fortune telling gaming card deck. So oracle cards don't quite have the depth of history that we see with tarot, for example. So like I said, it does come from Madame Lenormand's 19th century creation. That is really where modern oracle cards stem from. So only really back to the 19th century, whereas tarot, you can trace back to like the 1300s. So there is a good still like 300 years to dive into with Oracle cards, but again, not quite as much history there as we tend to see with tarot. So as I said, it was a Lenormand deck that kicked off this trend of Oracle cards that we see today, originating in France, and the main purpose of it was cartomancy, or using cards to divine information, divine the future, or fortune telling. They were very similar to the tarot cards. So these old oracle decks that we used to have, the Lenormand decks, were very similar to tarot cards, using illustrations to visually deliver messages. So channeling messages through symbols and visual media. And the original Lenormand deck only had 36 cards, so it's not like the 78 card tarot deck that we see today. And it's this kind of smaller deck structure that we still see with Oracle cards. Usually you will get Oracle decks that are around 38 to 50 something cards in a deck. That's a very generalized average, because you can get Oracle decks that are like 100 cards or like 80 something cards. I think I have an Oracle deck that has like 86 cards in it or something like that. So it is very flexible. It does fluctuate depending on what Oracle deck you get. But generally it is a much smaller deck in structure than you would find with tarot, which again is another reason why it lends itself very well to beginners, because there's not loads of different cards that you're trying to absorb all the information of and learn and stuff like that. So these days we have diverted away from the traditional playing card vibe. So those spades and clubs and diamonds and hearts. So we've kind of moved away from that a lot more with the modern Oracle decks that we have today. So we've moved to more esoteric, spiritual waters and themes, and that is tends to be how people will use them and apply them in their kind of day-to-day and their spiritual practices and their well-being practices as well. So now you can find Oracle cards that focus on divining information from things like astrological signs, the moon. Like, everyone has probably heard of Moonology, the Moonology deck. You can get Oracle cards that divine information from flowers, from angels, and even kind of everyday routines. So it's a very broad spectrum of themes that you can find in Oracle decks. So this means that Oracle cards tend to be more widely available to anyone of any skill level. So all you really need to read or use and apply Oracle cards in your day-to-day is the deck's guidebook. You don't even need that a lot of the times, because Oracle cards tend to have a lot of information printed on them so that you can just pull a card, read what the card means straight there and then without having to look anything up in a guidebook. Obviously, this is a generalization and not all decks are the same, but a lot of the Oracle decks that I have come across and that are kind of more mainstream tend to have a lot of information on them. So that's all you really need to read the Oracle. So it makes it very beginner friendly. And a lot of them are definitely a straight out the box type of tool. So there's no messing, no having to learn any meanings or anything like that. You can just whack it straight out the box, give it a shuffle, pick a card and get on with your day. So it's a very kind of like a fast food version of the tarot. People are going to hate me for saying that, but that's just what came to my head then. That was just like, you can just take it straight out of the box and use it. You don't have to, you know, have a degree to figure out what it means. So that is essentially a very brief, butchered outline of what Oracle cards are. Now, how are Oracle cards and tarot cards actually different? So the very first time I got into tarot cards, where I was like actively searching online and in shops for tarot cards, I wasn't 100% sure what the difference was. So I had to do a lot of research about why would I choose a deck of tarot cards if I could choose a deck of oracle cards. And a lot of the time as well, your oracle cards will be cheaper or more affordable because they're smaller decks. Obviously, again, sweeping generalization. But in general, on average, oracle cards, oracle decks tend to be a little bit cheaper than your 78 card tarot deck. So I've already mentioned a few key differences between oracle and tarot cards. The main ones are obviously the amount of cards that we have in a deck. So oracle card decks consist of any number of cards. So it could be 36 to 52. I think definitely the one I've got, the Fox Tarot Self-Care Oracle deck, and that has 80 different cards in it. So it can range very, very broadly of how many cards you get in a deck. Tarot decks, however, always pretty much contain 78 cards in a deck, which is then split into two different sections, which is the major arcana. So they're the things like your fool, your magician, death, the devil, temperance, all of those kind of big energies. They are the major arcana. And then you have the minor arcana. So they are sometimes called the pip cards, especially if you have a deck where they just have like coins on them, they just have swords on them, they don't have the elaborate illustration that you would find on the Rider-Waite deck. So they would just be pip cards. And yeah, so that's the general structure of the tarot. And then obviously they have the kings, queens, knights and pages in there as well. And it's really the minor arcana that reflects that playing card history that the tarot has of coming from that kind of spades, diamonds situation that was happening. I think the only exception to the 78 card structure of a tarot deck that I have come across, and I don't know if this is like across the board, but it is my Usi Pagan Otherworlds deck. And the only reason for that is that it has 79 cards in the actual deck, and it has an extra card called the Seeker. So that's the only, I think, different deck that I have that has more than 78. Anyway, when it comes to using the two together, I find that they are very easily interchangeable. So the only adjustments I tend to make is that I keep to smaller spreads. So usually 4 to 5 cards maximum if I'm using a deck of oracle cards to do a spread. And this is because there's so much information offered by oracle cards, like actually on the card and in the meaning of the card itself. And so I try and keep my spreads a lot smaller, because if there's too much information swimming about, it can be very difficult to get a clear message and a clear understanding. So I try and keep my oracle spreads a little bit smaller than I would with my tarot spreads. So another big difference, or at least it used to be, the gap is starting to close a little, is oracle cards are themed. So you can still get themed tarot decks, but I find them a bit more of a novelty item. Like, they're nice to collect, but I don't necessarily feel as connected with them as I would a tarot deck that is specifically designed as a tarot deck, if that makes sense. So for example, I've got a Game of Thrones tarot deck that I bought years ago. I think I've flicked through it once and I've never actually used it to do a reading. And I've got like a couple of different ones where I just like the look of them and I like flicking through them and kind of having a look at them, but I've not really used them for anything. Whereas with Oracle decks, I find that I can connect with their themes a lot more than I would do if it was a tarot deck. That's pretty, it's hard to explain, but that's essentially the base of it. So Oracle decks use themes to help better channel their messaging. So I've got two self-care Oracle decks, one Starseed Universe messaging deck, a Moonology deck. I've got another one that is, I don't even really know how to describe the theme of it. It's just sort of spiritual esotericness going on. Obviously, the Moonology deck is all about lunar advice and astrological signs. So each one has a different theme, kind of uses different imagery and different thematics to get a message across and to get a point across. So Oracle cards are very popular at the moment because they are more accessible to those who don't have the time, or they don't want to learn tarot, or they are really interested in the aesthetic of spirituality and they want to kind of use a deck that they feel connected with because they find it very aesthetically pleasing, which is absolutely valid. That is how I choose many of my tarot decks. If I really love the imagery, if I can connect with the imagery, then I'm much more likely to use that deck to do readings. And so it applies as well to Oracle cards. So if you're looking around, you see an Oracle deck that you really, really love the look of, but you're like, well, you know, I can't just buy it because I like it, like the look of it. Of course you can, just buy it. If you can connect with it on a visual level, then the likelihood is you'll be able to connect to it on kind of an emotional and spiritual level as well. So don't feel like you can't buy a deck just because it's very, very pretty, because you absolutely can. So again, they're much more beginner friendly and kind of favored by those who want a nice, easy cartomancy tool to add to their current well-being. So with the Oracle cards, I would say they're much more targeted towards the well-being industry, which is why you tend to see them in things like Urban Outfitters or Waterstones. You tend to find more of a variety of Oracle cards than you would tarot, because with tarot, you predominantly have to learn how to read tarot. You don't necessarily have to learn how to read Oracle cards because they're all different. So it'd be impossible to learn, you know, how to read every single Oracle card in the world. So again, with tarot, it does require you to commit to it a lot more, commit to learning about it a lot more, buying guidebooks, researching meanings and things like that. So that tends to be the biggest differences between the two of them. Hello, my lovelies. This is just me popping in to remind you that the Energetic Tarot Podcast's mailbox is open for your letters. If you haven't listened to episode 50 already, you can get a feel of what these episodes are like, where I read a listener's letter out to you all and we do a 5-card reading, so you get essentially a free tarot reading from me and we work through solutions, we find clarity, we chat a bit about what you're going through, and yeah, you can be anonymous, you can be out and proud, it is completely up to you, but I am now accepting all of your letters. So if you want to send me a letter, you can email me and you can do that at cat@energetictarot.co.uk, or you can click the link in the show notes, which will take you to a contact form where you can put your letter in and send it off to me. So if you do have something you would like some guidance on, you would like me to help with, and you feel comfortable having it broadcast on the podcast, then just let me know. So that is it. Let's get back to the podcast. So like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, the major question is, why would I choose an Oracle deck over a Tarot deck? Or why would I choose a Tarot deck over an Oracle deck? So what is the best tool for what? Why have these two different things that on the surface look very similar? So I do feel, I don't know, like a slightly childish resistance to Oracle cards, because I'm so like tarot till I die, but I can't deny that they are a great tool and I do use them. I think I'm using them more and more. It's taken me a while to kind of reluctantly dive in, but I have been using my Oracle decks a lot more. And I think it's because I want tarot, I think that kind of resistance is I want tarot to be as widely popular as Oracle cards are becoming and kind of as trendy as Oracle cards are becoming. And no one seems to like want them. So I'm constantly trying to be like, oh, you like Oracle cards? Well, why don't you try these tarot cards as well? I'm trying to like push tarot on people. But I understand why people are so in love with Oracle cards at the moment, because they are very open and pretty much accessible to a lot more people than tarot tends to be. But it's fine, you know, you do you, whichever one you love, you can love them equally, it's okay. So the big question is obviously, why would you choose Oracle cards over the tarot? So Oracle cards, as I said earlier, are great if you want to add something a little extra to a routine or a self-care practice or a well-being routine that you've kind of already established, you're already doing, or that you're currently creating. They don't require any formal training. You don't need to do a course or buy a guidebook from your local bookstore. When you buy a deck, you'll have everything that you could possibly need. The guidebook that comes with your deck will be all the information that you could possibly need to support you using that deck. So this is why I keep repeating that they are perfect for beginners, because someone who has never tried cartomancy or they've never picked up any kind of divination deck or tool or whatever it may be, they've probably never even touched a crystal in their life, whatever it is, they can go out, buy a deck, and that's it. That's all they need. They just have to shuffle and they're on their way. So when it comes to problems and challenges, though, where it's that kind of deep work that needs to be done, where you're in that headspace where things are very confusing and you don't really know where you're supposed to be looking or what's supposed to have your attention, what you're supposed to ignore, all of that stuff. When it comes to more complex things, that's when I would say to make the switch over to tarot, because I feel like tarot is a deeper tool than Oracle cards. So if there was like levels of depth for inner work, you would have Oracle cards on the kind of top point and then it would be tarot underneath. So you might start off with an Oracle card to kind of get an idea of where you should be looking, what area you should be looking in, kind of a generalized locating of what needs work. And then you would use the tarot to dive into the details and the nitty gritty of it. So that's the way that I would suggest using the two together, but we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more as well. So for example, I would tend to use an Oracle deck for things like yes or no questions or looking for that quick hit of guidance before I run out the door, or if I want to set an intention for the week or whatever it may be. If I need something that is, it doesn't require my brain to think overly about the meaning of it or too deeply and kind of sitting there and really thinking about something, then I will pull an Oracle card instead. But if I wanted to sit down and do journaling, for example, or do very, I'm going to say very intense journaling. I don't know how you could do very intense journaling, but you know, where you kind of dig a little deeper into that inner world and you're working on maybe self-development or growth or something like that, then I would opt for a tarot deck over an oracle deck. And as well, because like I was saying before, I tend to keep my oracle spreads quite small. So I tend to only use about 4 or 5 cards for an oracle spread. And so with tarot, I can use, I think the most I've ever used, it has been 12 cards in a spread. And that's when I do my yearly review, where I kind of pull a card for each month of the year about to come up. I usually do that at New Year. But I will use a lot more cards for a tarot reading. And so it gives you a lot more information around the more complex things that you might want to dig into. So some things that I highly recommend using oracle cards for are things like daily card pulls. So if you wanted to do that, like as soon as you wake up in the morning, you feel like you need to set an intention for the day, or you just feel like you need something to anchor you a little bit more, then an oracle card can be perfect for that. If you need quick hits of guidance from the universe or from yourself or whatever it is you believe in, then you can pull a card. Intention setting for the day, like I said, or even the week ahead, like on a Sunday night, you want to pull a card to kind of set an intention for that week, then oracle cards are great for that. Journal prompts. So I did say that I tend to use tarot more for journaling, but if I was doing kind of gratitude journaling, or I just wanted something a little bit more lighthearted, or something that doesn't, you know, it's not as intense, then I would pull an oracle card and then journal about whatever guidance the oracle card would give me. And then again, yes or no questions, I would tend to use an oracle deck for that, although it depends on the theme of the deck, because some decks will lend themselves a lot better to yes or no questions than other decks. But as well as that, I would probably say integrating a pendulum into that as well, and using a pendulum and your oracle card. That could be a really nice way of getting around yes or no questions and kind of delving into those a little bit more. So yeah, they're just some of the things that I would say oracle cards are the go-to deck for me anyway. And then we have the tarot. So what can tarot cards help with that oracle cards can't? So if you walk into a shop and they say you have an oracle deck or you have a tarot deck, which one do you want? This is kind of things to think about to make that decision. So moving on to my favorite, we are now moving on to the tarot. So what can tarot help with that oracle cards can't? Deeper self-development or healing work. So the tarot can be used in obviously larger spreads, like I was just chatting about, to show you the finer details of a situation. So oracle tends to be kind of skin deep, but the tarot can really get into those hard to reach places. So this means you can get a much clearer picture of what's going on, because it's a bit like back in the day when you used to have your compact 8-megapixel digital camera that you would take out with you. That would be the oracle cards. Like, it's good, it gives you the full picture, you can see what you need to see, but tarot is your kind of 4K full frame SLR camera. It gives you that exceptional visual quality. It shows you all those tiny little details that you couldn't get with that nice hot pink megapixel digital camera that we all used to have. So it's really getting into the tiny, tiny little details and being able to really bring up everything that needs to be focused on and to be worked on. So the tarot can also do everything that is on the oracle card list as well. You can switch between them. It just requires more of a knowledge of the cards, or at least a confident enough intuitive practice that can help you kind of scrape every last message from a single card. So there needs to be some sort of foundation there to jump off. And something that I think a lot of modern day tarot readers will use their decks for are things like, so for me, tarot helps me better understand my mood, my behaviors, my patterns. They're better at helping me break cycles and create new habits or create longer lasting habits. So they're much better at giving me information about myself that I can then use to manage or maintain my mental health and my overall well-being. So I tend to use my tarot deck as sort of a crutch for other mental health solutions and treatments that I have. So it is very close to kind of like a self-help therapy situation. That's how I would tend to use the tarot. So the true magic of the tarot comes when we can combine both of these tools together. So I wrote a blog a while ago about how to use tarot and oracle cards together in one reading. And often I will use an oracle card as either a significator or a signifier or an anchor card. It tends to create a theme and a direction for my reading and adds that extra perspective that is often needed, especially in more complex tarot readings, because if you have all that information, sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming trying to sort it all out and pull it all together in a way that makes sense as a whole. Kind of like if you had like a 1,000-piece puzzle, you can sort of see where the edges are, you can kind of see what the middle is, but it can be tricky to just go straight in and completely put this puzzle together. So an oracle card is kind of like the picture on the puzzle box. It helps you to be able to visualize what the message, the overall message, should generally look like. That's the best way I can think of to explain it. Hopefully that makes sense. But yeah, so that's how I tend to use the two together. Some people will, I mean, these are people who do huge spreads. I mean, massive spreads. I've seen professional tarot readers who do spreads for like celebrities and stuff. They will have loads of tarot cards and then they'll pull oracle cards for each tarot card, and that's too much to me. But if that's something that you want to dive into and give it a go, you do you. That sounds very overwhelming to me, but that might be something that you are interested in doing. But I tend to just stick with one oracle card for whatever reading I'm doing, usually a 7 to 10 card reading, and then I'll have an oracle card as like the anchor, the theme for that reading. So to finish off, I did want to do a little exercise. So I know when I tend to do these types of episodes, or I do like the listener letters, we don't do our usual journal prompts that we would usually do. So I wanted to do a little exercise this week, and it's kind of like a tarot versus oracle exercise. So let's have a look. It's a tarot and oracle card combination spread. So hopefully, and if you don't have a tarot and an oracle deck that you can use together, this is your permission to go out there and treat yourself to one or the other, whichever one that you don't have, go out there and grab one. And yeah, what I'll do is chat you through it, do a little reading for myself as an example, and then send you on your way. So I highly recommend giving it a go in your own time, obviously when you can sit and really spend some time digging into it. So first of all, we'll need 4 tarot cards and we'll need 1 oracle card. So I'm going to choose them for myself now. Then what I want to do is lay them out. So I'm going to imagine a square on the table in front of me, and I'm going to put each of my tarot cards where each of the 4 sides of the square would be. So you're going to end up with a kind of cross shape. So you'll have your four tarot cards on the outside of your spread, and then you want to take your oracle card, and that will sit in the middle of your little imaginary square. So what you want to do from here is go clockwise reading each of your cards. So you have the top card, which will represent your home. You have the right hand card, which will represent your health, mainly your physical and mental health. You will have the bottom card, which is your work and finances, and then the left hand card, which is your relationships. And as you go round, what you want to be doing is thinking about how the message from that tarot card relates to that core message of your oracle card. So, for example, I'm going to choose out of my reading the most obvious one to me. And that is down at the bottom. I have, for work and finances, I have the Six of Pentacles. And my oracle card in the middle is Philanthropy, the Spirit. So a lot of the work that I do is about giving my clients, my students, my audience, the tools, the information, the knowledge they need in order to read tarot and read oracle cards for their own well-being. So a lot of the services that I create, everything, or the ideas that I try and come up with, I always try and link that back to that idea. I don't know whether I would say it was philanthropic, because that always feels like, it feels like a very big word to use, but I suppose in a way it is, because it's helping people to help themselves. So that is how I would kind of link those two together. And obviously we're trying to align all these different aspects of our external world with that internal world. So for me, I would say that those two, my internal world and my external world in regards to work and finances, those two things are very, very well aligned. So I don't feel like I need to do too much work on those two things. Maybe like little adjustments and shifts and things like that. But I don't feel like I need to completely change something within that area of my life. So that is essentially how I want you to work it. So start from the top and go clockwise and see how you relate to that tarot card, and then try and link it in and see how aligned it is with that oracle card in the center as well. And what I'll do is I will create a graphic for this specific reading, and I'll put it into the podcast's blog posts that tend to go up in the week after the podcast has been published. So if it's not there by the time you listen to it, if you're listening to this on the day that it is published, then keep checking back, because it will be at some point this week. You will find it on energetictarot.co.uk, so you can go check that out there. Okay, I'm going to leave you now to do your reading, get to grips with using tarot and oracle together, and I highly encourage you to just experiment with different ways to use the two together. See what feels good for you, explore what you connect with the most, and yeah, don't feel like you have to use this specific structure to use both of them together. Really experiment and see what kind of what works for you. So that is it for this week's podcast. Remember, again, the mailbox is open for any letters. If you are looking for a free reading and you want me to do a podcast on any kind of question or issue that you have, you can send me your letters. You can do it from email. You can click the link in the show notes. It's completely up to you. And remember as well to go and check out those payment plans if you do want to join us in the Energetic Tarot course community. So that is it. I will speak to you very soon. I hope you all have a lovely week ahead, and I will speak to you in the next episode. Bye bye, guys.